so let me...
I have a little audio editing system, but I can imagine... They told me that it was coming across just fine.
Huh.
So I imagine they're not the...
Well, yeah, we're all volunteers here, you know.
All volunteers. They're not Time Warner employees out there.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Were you
able to hear me, though, at all?
Well, I was, but I'm afraid that the general public probably wasn't, but I had it pretty cranked up pretty loud. I was in the production studio, and I can monitor either what I'm producing or what's being broadcast, and I had
oh my goodness
broadcast, and I had to crank it up pretty loud in order for you to come through clearly.
I wish they had said something. Yeah. So that whole interview was for naught, huh?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I don't know. I think that if the listeners did what I did and cranked it up, then you're.
Well, I have it recorded here, and I'll see if I can salvage it. But,
okay.
It's good interview practice for me. I'm happy to do it. You know, if it reaches anybody, it's good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let me record.
By the way, Jerry, you read the articles, I assume.
Yes, I did, uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
And I have your website up here, so I'm going to talk about Johnstown and the military doctors being pressured, and Chuck Luther as part of the introduction, and then we'll take it from there. And what what I'd like to talk about is this a systemic thing in the military, or are these just a few bad apples that have something against these individual
soldiers?
Sure,
sure.
You know,
by the way, this is not broadcasting now, right?
No, it's not broadcasting.
So you'll edit this later.
I will edit it. Yes.
Will you send me a copy?
I sure will. I usually post my the copies that I'm sending on radioforall.net. Are you familiar with that site?
I will be in 30 seconds.
It's
Radio for All.
And it's for the number 4.
Mm.
All lowercase. Radioforall.net, not .com.
Let's see. Okay.
You got it up there?
Yeah, and you can just download it like a podcast. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
If you find the program, there are a couple of ways to find the program. If you click on it, it'll allow you.
What's the name of the program?
Peace Radio.
Peace Radio. Uh-huh.
It'll allow you to download it as an MP3 file.
Okay. Great.
And I'm recording this in stereo so that I can edit it a little more closely.
Okay, good.
But when I post it, I'll be posting it in mono because it just takes a lot less space and a lot less time to post.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay, well, are we ready to kind of begin now?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'll give you an introduction, and then you can come on in and we'll begin talking.
All right, Jerry.
Okay. Today on Veterans News, we're interviewing Joshua Coors, who's a reporter for The Nation magazine. And he's written several articles recently. One of them examines the case of John Town, who was wounded and got a Purple Heart, but then he was denied medical benefits because the doctors had concluded that his headaches and hearing loss were not caused by the rocket that knocked him unconscious, but by personality disorder. Joshua has also written an article about military doctors being pressured by their superiors to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers. And in this week's edition of The Nation, he tells the story of Sergeant Chuck Luther, who's wounded by a mortar fire in Iraq and then held captive in a U.S. Army aid station for over a month kept in detention until he'd agreed to sign fraudulent papers saying his wounds were from a preconditioning personality disorder. So these are very disturbing articles and reports coming. Joshua, welcome to Peace Radio, and can you tell us a little more about this that's going on in the military?
Good to be with you, Jerry. Yeah, well, this is basically an ongoing problem, been going on for decades, with soldiers who were physically wounded in combat, in these cases, Iraq and Afghanistan, I've looked at dozens of cases in the 3.5 years I've been reporting on this story.
Uh-huh.
And these are all soldiers who, you know, are coming back with severe physical wounds that would be clearly attributable to combat. And their wounds are being blamed on personality disorder, a severe childhood mental illness that truly has nothing to do with...
And a pre-existing condition as far as the recruitment goes.
Well, and anyone familiar with the insurance issues going on in the healthcare problem know exactly what pre-existing would mean.
Right.
For the civilian world, it could mean being locked out of the system. And for veterans, having their physical ailments pegged to a pre-existing condition means no disability pay for the rest of their life and no access to the long-term medical care that severely wounded soldiers are guaranteed.
Yeah. In addition, they carry around the stigma of being kicked out of the military because of a mental illness of some sort. And that makes it difficult to get employment once you're out.
It sure is. You know, as one of the doctors I spoke to said, you imagine taking that discharge paper that says you're mentally ill and trying to get a job in this job climate. It's simply the most difficult thing you could imagine. And it's a burden that these wounded soldiers feel they just shouldn't carry, because so many of them, they're not mentally ill at all. What their real problem was, in John Towne's case, as you mentioned, was being wounded by a rocket.
Right.
Sergeant Chuck Luther, the soldier I profiled in this issue of The Nation, his physical problems came from being wounded by mortar fire.
Yeah, he was slammed against the concrete wall as a result of the explosion, wasn't he?
He slammed his head against the concrete. Mm-hmm. And developed headaches so severe that his vision would shut off.
You know, these are clearly neural symptoms. I don't see why the medics didn't pick up on this.
Well,
I mean, these are symptoms of concussion. These are classical symptoms.
Yeah, as you mentioned, part two in my series, I spoke to military doctors
mm-hmm.
who talked about the pressure on them to purposely misdiagnose
wow.
wounded soldiers. One told the story of a soldier who came back with a chunk missing from his leg. His superiors pressured him to diagnose that as personality disorder. And at that point, he said, that's it, I quit.
Uh-huh. Wow. So do you think that this is a pervasive policy, or is this just a result of a few bad actors who are under pressure?
I think it's hard to say.
Uh-huh.
It's an odd statement to make after 3.5 years that perhaps more reporting needs to be done.
Oh, I understand, yeah.
But everyone has talked about where's the smoking gun, if this
uh-huh.
is a policy. And little smoking guns have popped up from place to place. NPR did a fantastic report about Fort Carson in Colorado, where the top psychologist there posted on a post board for all his doctors to see encouragement to diagnose pre-existing conditions like personality disorder
mm-hmm.
Because the soldiers, you know, shouldn't benefit from their wounds.
Right.
In Texas, there was a psychologist who was dragged out into the media spotlight and eventually had to sit before Congress to justify an email she wrote to the doctors under her command. This email was leaked in the course of a lawsuit from a veterans group in San Francisco. That email said to her fellow doctors, look, we don't really have the money to diagnose PTSD, traumatic brain injury, and other such ailments. So let's move towards a pre-existing condition like personality disorder or adjustment disorder, because we just don't have the money to do otherwise.
Wow. And they're just talking about the money to diagnose it, because the money to treat it would come from the Veterans Administration, not from the military per se.
Well, those were actually, it's a mix. Uh-huh. That doctor was from the VA.
Uh-huh. Oh,
the
I see.
The other doctor was from the hospital at Fort Carson's Post.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that a positive diagnosis of a neural condition is probably more expensive, a procedure, than diagnosing a number of physical injuries.
That may be. I'm not sure. Mm. You know, the doctors that we're talking about in this case of Sergeant Luther, the action here took place in Iraq. This was at the aid station at Camp Haji in Iraq. And, you know, for all of the doctors and all of these different branches of the military to be behaving in a similar fashion, it certainly raises the eyebrows of the many veterans groups who are looking on and wondering, how could this possibly be a coincidence? And
right.
I should mention, we're not talking about a few cases.
Right. You report on a couple of specific cases, but you mentioned that there's been at least a dozen.
Oh, much more than that. This is a much broader problem. Since 2001, 22,600 soldiers have been discharged with personality disorder.
Wow.
And we're looking at savings to the military of over $12 billion.
Wow. Yeah, well, that certainly is a significant economic incentive, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, Jerry, to go back about the causes, you know, while that question can't be definitively answered, I think there's another argument to be made that this is part of the culture. That lawsuit in San Francisco that I mentioned, I covered that last year. It was a veterans group suing the VA for failure to provide them the benefits that they deserved. And in the course of that lawsuit, a VA manual was outed and placed up on the screen. And the manual was instructions to doctors saying, don't trust the soldiers, especially when it comes to these invisible injuries, like traumatic brain injury, like post-traumatic stress disorder, because a condition like that is relatively easy to fake.
Wow, so immediately the doctors are put in an adversarial position with their patients.
And that kind of suspicion is drilled into them as part of their preparation to deal with soldiers.
Wow. Wow.
That's a heck of a training manual, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. And it certainly sounds like a systemic policy that is being propagated. And with economic, perhaps, impetus behind it. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that there have been a couple of challenges to these, but to these decisions and these classifications, but they've been largely frustrated because the mechanisms for overview have largely been internal to the military. Is that correct?
Well, to overturn this it's going to be an operation. I think it's going to take a united front from all the different veterans groups. I think right now, you know, the veterans who've been affected by this don't even have their eyes that far down the road. I think the first step for so many of them is just to raise awareness of this and to fight it on an individual level before it becomes part of the national consciousness. Sergeant Luther, the soldier who was wounded by mortar fire, he has now started an organization called Disposable Warriors, which grew out of his own fight against the military. He's now fighting on behalf of all the other personality disorder soldiers who are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and finding this second war to battle for their benefits.
Right, which they certainly don't need, but looks like they have to engage if they want to get their benefits.
Well, I think, again, you know, that's part of the culture. One of the other aspects I've been reporting on in the last few years is the proof system, where soldiers come back, and in order to get benefits, they have to prove that their wounds came from war. I think so many Americans probably listening right now think that wounded soldiers are immediately given benefits, and that's just not the case.
It seems absurd that their medical records is on the onus of the soldier, the veteran, to obtain their medical records from the Army and get them transferred to the VA. It's just absurd that it doesn't happen automatically.
Well, that's not even the end of the fight. It's not just obtaining the records. One of the soldiers I covered was a soldier who would come back with shrapnel still embedded in his skin. And he was still fighting the military 3 years after those wounds to prove that his wounds came from war. Now, you'd think with the shrapnel still in his skin, it would be an open and shut case, one to process quickly and one to get him the benefits quickly. But that just hasn't been the case. And the more I've been reporting on veterans' issues, the more I'm seeing case after case that is egregious to that level.
Wow. Well, I don't know what to say. Is there a movement afoot to garner support from the various veterans organizations? I know there's a whole political spectrum of veterans organizations out there.
Can I tell you, Jerry?
Sure.
That the answer to that question is yes, as of this morning. I was awakened this morning to an email by a soldier who had been reading my reporting on this and started a Facebook group.
Oh,
to halt personality disorder discharges.
Uh-huh.
Veterans United to halt personality disorder discharges. People can find it on Facebook.
Well, I'm glad to see that social networking being put to that kind of use.
I was happy to see that too. Perhaps that's a way for these veterans to connect with each other. I mean, you know, it's important for me not to be a veterans advocate, to simply do the investigative reporting.
Right.
But I think any American who reads these articles and sees what's happening to these wounded soldiers simply has a gut reaction that this is not fair, that this should stop, and that regardless of how one feels about the war or, you know, the military tact in general, this is simply a matter of fairness, that wounded soldiers should be taken care of and not have their broken bodies slid out the side door, blamed on a pre-existing mental illness.
Yeah, and this is Peace Radio, and we don't look kindly on war, but we feel that our veterans deserve our support. They've risen to the cause, they've answered the nation's call, and they put their lives on the line, and we deserve them the support that they were promised.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah. Well, Joshua, thanks so much for being on the job and reporting all this stuff about the veterans, and we look forward to future articles in the Nation and other publications. Joshua Kerr is a reporter for the Nation magazine and author of the current title article for this week's magazine. Thank you so much, Joshua.
Jerry, you should let your listeners know as well.
Yes.
They can learn a lot more about this issue by going to joshuacors.com, K-O-R-S.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye-bye.